He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It's the Friday, January 12th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Hopefully his CFA designation will help us out a lot here today, because there's a lot of CFA stuff kind of going around today in the market, between earnings reports, between PPI reports. Of course, I'm all over this Houthi rebel situation in the Middle East. So anyways, a lot going on today. The Dow is up so far, 55 points, 37,766. I want to say that's a new all-time high. I believe it is. The S&P 500 is up 22 to 4802. I want to say that's a new all-time high. I don't think it's ever closed above 4,800, and we're at 4,802 right now. Now, the NASDAQ's nowhere near a new high, but it's at 14,994. It's up 24 points today. Small caps having a good day on a benign PPI report. What does that mean? We'll talk about that in a minute. Russell 2000 is up 1.3%. Oil's up 222. That's where the Houthi rebels come in. Gold is up $43 an ounce today to 2,062. And the 10-year is down 5 basis points to 3.92. And Bitcoin down 2,711. Sounds like buy the rumor, sell the news with the ETF news that came out yesterday. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. Also editor of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter, which I enjoy writing every Friday and Saturday. It's my trip down memory lane the last 5 days of the market. And, you know, I'm looking at any kind of signs of issues or problems out there in the market. It's been going up since 2009 with earnings, following those earnings. Like I say, stocks follow earnings, indexes follow earnings. Earnings have been going up for the last, since 2009? That's 14, 15 years. And the market's been going up during that time. Well, there's been some hiccups along the way. But overall, maybe I'll put that in the newsletter tomorrow. If you look at a chart of the Dow from 2009 until today, you're going to see an upward trend. 15 years now that it has been going up, despite all of the naysayers, in spite of all of the negative newsletter writers out there, all the perma bears, Barry, and there's plenty of those out there, right? Not that I'm saying you're one.
they're right every handful of years.
You know who they are. Eventually they're going to be right, and hopefully we'll be bearish by that point in time. But what will bring the this long bull market to an end? Well, the end in earnings appreciation for the S&P 500. It's as simple as that. Well, it could be other things. I mean, look, it could be World War III. Who knows? It could be some massive natural disaster. We just don't know those kinds of things. But for the most part, earnings are going to be the key, and continue to be the key going forward. And we do have the kickoff today. It didn't exactly go into the end zone. J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon is running the ball back a little bit and having a pretty good go at it. Several bank stocks have reported earnings today. United Healthcare has reported earnings and a few others. So earnings season is now underway. It occurs 4 times per year, and we'll be reporting on that because it holds the key to the market going forward. All right, well, we have a little bit of a lift to the market here today. Let's start, Barry, why not, with the PPI report. Yesterday's CPI report
Yeah, it came in a tiny bit hot, and then, of course, the opposite today. PPI coming in a certainly cool, a little cooler than expected. It actually edged down 0.1% in December, and compared to they were expecting a 0.1% increase in terms of the top line, and they also believe revised November to a negative 0.1% versus it was at 0% for November. So on a year-over-year basis, I guess it doesn't necessarily feel like it, but wholesale prices only advanced 1% versus the 1.3% that was expected. So producers, right, are their costs are going down. I guess, you know, the question is, are they reducing those prices to us, right?
Well, yeah, it's like pickle prices are coming down. Will they lower the price of a Big Mac? You know, I was talking to somebody in the convenience store business. Convenience store business is now the gasoline business, you know. I mean, there's some big purveyors out there competing. It seems like there's a gas station on every corner these days. But he says, you know, when they make their money in that business is when prices go way up on gasoline and then they start to come down, and they can hold on to those higher prices for just a little while, right? And it's kind of, in other words, they're not going to pass that savings on to the consumer right away. Eventually they have to. But it's kind of like this PPI index. When will it show up in my pocket? Huh? That's what I want to know. Probably they will be able to put it in their pocket for a short period of time.
It may show up in earnings.
May show up in earnings, okay. So, yeah, in an indirect way, that helps the stock market.
Right.
Well, anyways, I wrote yesterday that the Dow was testing its high once again. What's that mean? Well, it's a ceiling. The Dow goes up, it hits its all-time high, and it hits its head on that ceiling and bounces back. And can't make it through that ceiling. Well, we have a little bit. At least the Dow is peering above that ceiling today. Let's see if it can hold on to its gains by the end of the day. That's all that matters, really, is the close of the market. This is the beginning of a three-day weekend. The market will be closed on Monday in honor of Martin Luther King Day. We also have the S&P 500 poking its head above 4,800. For the first time in a long time, it's never closed. I don't think it's ever closed above 4,800. Maybe I missed something, but I think a close above 4,800 would be an all-time high. So anyways, CPI inflation a little bit hotter than expected yesterday. But the PPI, which hopefully will lead to a cooler CPI in the future, was benign. In fact, it was negative today. I was surprised yesterday by the impact that just that little, I mean, 0.1%, right, on the CPI. The utilities got smacked upside the head yesterday. AES was down 4.5%, WEC Energy down 4%, Alliant down. The average utility was down 3%, and I'm going, really? I mean, are they that sensitive to interest rates?
Right. I thought that was pretty surprising as well. It's you also had Fed Governor, I think, earlier in the week, kind of mentioned that a March cut is unlikely, which we haven't been in the March camp of a cut anyway. Really, I think the market right now is really looking at May in terms of pricing in when that first potential cut could be.
Quarter of a percent cut. Let's spike that punch bowl again. Keep this this bull market
keep party going, right?
Going. Okay, now, all right. Why do I mention the Yemen and the Houthi rebels? Well, you know what? Yemen is an ancient country. It's been around biblical times. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the Queen of Sheba came from Yemen area up to see King Solomon, and she thought she was pretty well off till she saw his riches, and so it has a long history. It's also, now, believe it or not, from that, it's one of the poorest countries on earth. It's horrible. I mean, it's been ravaged by civil war for many years. I was reading that on the UN index of countries that where the individuals need humanitarian help. It's like number one or two, Barry, right up there with Haiti and other countries. And it's just amazing that this country is causing so much trouble. Of course, it's Iran, all right? Iran is the one. They take advantage of areas like this where there's a lot of turmoil. They move their troops in there. It's got a strategic location. It's got 1,200 miles of ocean, bordering the ocean. And, of course, it's right there at the entrance to the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. So they've been causing a lot of trouble. In fact, you know that that's the well, when we come back, I'll give you a trivia question. Someday this will be a trivia question. Maybe, I don't know. I was kind of surprised to hear it. How bad is it there in Yemen right now towards the shipping lanes? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back and what it's doing to oil prices. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back to the second quarter here of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the first time a ballistic missile has ever been fired at a U.S. naval ship, it was done by the Houthi rebels in Yemen. Luckily, it was shot down, and that drew the results of that. The consequences of that was an airstrike yesterday by Britain, the U.S., I think seven or eight other countries participating in that airstrike on Houthi positions in Yemen. So there's a big escalation there. There were 16 airstrikes that hit radar installations, storage sites, missile launchers. And, of course, the Houthis pledged to continue targeting ships, saying that any American attack won't go unpunished and would elicit a big response. Well, okay, that is an escalation, in that problem, big problem there in that area of the world, and it's impacting oil prices. That's why we bring it up. On a stock market show, it has tentacles. Not only that, you see the news on Tesla today, Barry. They have to close their plant, their German gigafactory, which I believe is it in Berlin? I think so.
I'm trying to remember where they put it at. Yeah.
And why did they have to close it? Because of the Houthi rebels. Attacks on commercial vessels in the Red Sea by Houthi rebels from Yemen has persuaded most shipping companies not to go through there, instead to go around the South Africa's Cape of Good Hope, which adds a little bit of mileage to the whole hill. And
apparently,
not,
at least 2 weeks, right? Because they're going to close for 2 weeks because their components are delayed.
They don't have the parts to make Tesla cars. So, right. Yeah, they're closed. It is the Berlin factory. So that's why this is a big deal. Now, Tesla's not the only one. I mean, we've been saying this is going to impact the supply chain. Right up the line of companies that get parts and whatnot going through that area of the world. You know, there's been a lot of pressure. This has not been a good week, a good month in the electric vehicle space. I thought the news from, like you said, Hertz, which I read this morning, pretty shocking. And, Hertz is citing the cost of a dent in a car, how much it costs to fix a dent in an electric vehicle. I don't know why, but, you know, I had to get a door fixed on my car. It took a year to get the part, all right? I'm not talking about a Tesla. I'm talking about a gas-powered SUV. And when I was there at the where they repair the cars, it's a dealership. I saw so many Teslas there that had dents or that were waiting to be fixed. I don't know if it's a You know, you're not paying attention. You're looking at that center console, which is pretty cool, you know, with the satellite maps and everything. But there were a lot of Teslas there. And, you know, there. I don't know if they have more accidents, if there's a statistic on that, if they have more accidents than the normal car. But there were there was an outsized proportion of Teslas in that lot waiting to be fixed.
Well, and just the number of sensors on the car, right? You know, a ding in a door, right, can easily mess up a sensor. I've heard that you know, in a Tesla, changing the windshield is a pretty big ordeal. And so there's, you know, inherently, right, there's a lot of nuances to ownership of those things. And, you know, frankly, like we were joking about yesterday, if you won't, you know, if Hertz was having trouble with folks renting them, right? Give them a go, right? Give them, try them out. Well, you know, doesn't bode, you know, in my opinion, doesn't bode well for the not a good look, right? I mean,
no, for, and Hertz is going to take a big, Hertz is going to take a big yeah. loss in selling these cars at a loss. And what are they going to do? They're going to replace them with gasoline-powered cars because it just has not been a good experience for them. I remember when Hertz announced that buy. That's when that was
Tesla,
like,
got
wow.
a bump. Yeah, and Tesla got a bump the other way. Yeah.
So when Hertz announced this yesterday, you know, Lucid is hitting new all-time lows. Lucid was down 6% yesterday.
I still don't know if I've ever seen a Lucid car.
I've seen a few
on the road that I noticed. Yeah,
it's a beautiful car, but the stock is not a beautiful stock. The stock was 64 in 2021. Okay, 2021 was the COVID year. That was the year that we had to buy long-duration stocks. And all of, you know, that was the year Kathy Woods was up 69% with her ARK funds. Now,
days of Teladoc?
Yeah, Lucid was 64. It's $3 per share now. And a real question whether it will survive or not. And so, I mean, this has been not a good week. You had Ford scale back their plans a lot. With electric vehicles, and I've noticed that the car manufacturers that are doing well, their charts are doing well. Stellantis and Toyota, they're doing extremely well. Why? Because they stuck pretty much with the combustion engines and didn't get on board that train. That electric vehicle train. So, anyways,
Toyota cranks out, you know, some of the best hybrids. I mean, you know, that's kind of where we always talk about the fact that's the sweet spot. Hybrid is where it's at. You get the best of both worlds. It's not completely, electric, and you can find gas, and it gets better gas mileage. That's why I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I know Tesla made it sexy, right, to go to the electric, only option, but hybrid, in my opinion, is really kind of the sweet spot.
I mean, yes. Well, okay. So, I mean, the EV thing is kind of hit a huge bump in the road here. Okay, now let's talk about Bitcoin, another bubble, potential bubble. That's shocking that it's down 3,000 today after, you know, there was robust activity. Those ETFs started trading yesterday.
And got up to over 40. You know, yesterday was been bumpy ride in both directions. It was up I think at one point over 49,000, which it hadn't seen in I don't know how long. And then of course, you know, can't hit where it's sitting at around 44 at the just over 44 at the moment, down 4%. It's always hard to tell what
it got up to 48,000, right?
Yeah. Something. Yeah.
I'm in the Charlie Munger camp on Bitcoin. Okay, Charlie Munger called it sewage. I think he might have used a different word, but he also used the word sewage. We'll see how it all ends up. And, you know, by disclosure, I do not own any Bitcoin. I let the folks that listen make their own decisions on that, but it's down 6% today. That's a pretty big hit after the big news. It's kind of like buy the rumor, sell the news. Here we go again. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on a very, very busy day in the market with earnings, PPI. In fact, it's been a busy week. The approval of Bitcoin for ETFs, attacks in the Middle East. It's always it's an active market. It's not a passive market. Now, one more item on Bitcoin, then we'll move on. Okay, I've seen some massive bubbles. In my 25 years in the business, relatively short career, I suppose, but at least I've been around to see some of the bubbles. And of course, the biggest bubble of all that I ever saw was the dot-com bubble back in 2000. You know what? Those guys were rock stars. Those guys that ran those, that were on CNBC all the time. That was just a different time. You know, it was crazy. And a lot of the guys who ran the tech funds were rock stars. And they were making these big projections, like, we think this stock can be 3,000 by the over the next. I remember when somebody made this just crazy projection on Qualcomm at the time, which in San Diego was a very, very big story because Qualcomm was on the cutting edge of the cell phone revolution that was just starting to take off. Now there's bubbles. We've had you know, some smaller bubbles since then. The housing market bubble was pretty big in 08 and 09. And of course the mortgage loans, where they were given mortgage loans to almost anybody if you could sign the paper, that was a massive bubble. It increased the demand for homes, that drove homes up to a giddy price and almost brought down our whole financial sector. Well, okay, let's just fast forward and see if there's any kind of comparisons in this Bitcoin thing with either of those two bubbles. Well, here's one, okay? And you know what I think about Cathie Wood and, you know, some of the projections she's made. And she continues to see, Barry, $1.5 million price on Bitcoin by the end of the decade. Well, do the math. This is 2024. The end of the decade, 6 years away. Do the compound return that it would take to get Bitcoin from 48,000, where it's at now, 44,000, to 1.5 million. And yet, you know, she's on CNBC being interviewed, and this is her base case is the 600,000 range, but our bull case is 1.5 million by 2030. Okay. Well, we'll see how well that goes, but I just I'll just leave it at that. China trade surplus larger than estimate. You know what? China had some good numbers this week. That's good, because China's economy, the only problem is they remain in a deflationary economy, which is not good.
Yeah, I think their exports were, I think their imports were better, but I think their exports were still, still struggling in terms of, you know, world trade, right?
Yeah, and
demand for their goods, you know, around the globe.
And that's a much bigger story than the Houthi rebels. Because, you know, China is a massive player in the global economy. So that continues to be a worry here in 2024. NVIDIA reaches $1 billion mark in chip orders from India. Man, I saw this. They got an order for 16,000 chips for those, you know, the chips that go in the, what's the name I'm trying to find, figure in my head out, you know, the big networks and all of the.
Oh, yeah, for data warehousing.
Yeah, data AI warehousing, chip, right, yeah. AI chips. Okay, 16,000 chip order. And, you know, they've had a good week. NVIDIA has had a good week. Meta expected to report strong Q4 after a stunning reversal of fortune. Boy, I'll say, you know, we kind of gave up on Meta, formerly known as Facebook, early last year, and then we got back into it as they started to turn the ship around. And it's been going good ever since, has Meta. Now, earnings. Okay. This is the big E. Okay, the big E in the market is earnings. You've heard of P.E. ratios. You've heard of EPS. That's earnings per share. A company becomes more, the real value in a company is their earnings, okay? You can have sales. Look at these Lucid Motor and Rivian. They have sales. I mean, we're seeing their product on the road. What do they lack? They lack earnings. And that was the problem, you know, that we found out with a lot of the dot-coms back in 2000. They had exploding, booming sales, but they weren't able to, you know, have more sales than they had expenses. And it never, many of those companies were never, ever profitable. They never, ever became profitable. The survivors of that era, obviously, Amazon, which even today struggles to be profitable, believe it or not. I mean, they have a pretty thin profit margin. Tesla obviously survived, became profitable, the only EV maker to do that. Earnings are that is the mother's milk of the stock market. That's what makes stocks and companies valuable, is how much they have in earnings. The bottom line, okay? And then, okay, so just getting to be profitable is hard enough, number one. Number two, to continue to grow earnings over the years, now you're separating the best stocks now in the market from just mediocre stocks, all right? And then, of course, companies have different life cycles. Some companies are early in their life cycle, hoping to be profitable someday. Some companies have just turned profitable, hoping to grow those earnings. And others are in the prime of their life right now. Like, you know, let's just say the cybersecurity software stocks, the AI stocks, the semiconductor stocks. And then you have mature companies. And I would say that today's batch of earnings mostly comes from mature companies, dividend payers, not growers anymore, not double-digit earnings growers, single-digit earnings growers, but even they are important to watch those earnings trends. So let's just take a look. Let's begin with, today it's the big banks. Let's begin with J.P. Morgan. How do you judge how well the street liked their earnings report? Look at the stock, okay? J.P. Morgan, they like their earnings report. Even though Jamie Dimon's company has, well, you know what? They've had four pretty good quarters in a row now because they had some very easy comparisons. But the stock is up 1% today on their earnings report. They beat by 37 cents. Their revenue missed. They did $38 billion. They were supposed to do $39 billion. Okay, so that's how the earnings season goes. Now, why am I saying it? Most of these companies that are reporting today are members of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is expected to have growth in earnings this quarter of about 1.3%. That's the starting point. Every time a company reports, it impacts the overall picture of the S&P 500. And that's what I update every single week in the newsletter, because I have just found over time that that's the number one indicator for the future of the market. And so I will be watching for a pattern. Are companies consistently beating earnings? Are the estimates going higher? Or is there trouble out there brewing on the horizon? Well, I would just say from what I've seen so far, and we'll go through the rest of these stocks here that have reported. I'm not seeing any issues with companies warning of lower earnings ahead. Bank of America's numbers are a little bit soft. That stock's down 1.8%. But this is the first salvo coming from Wall Street of earnings. And before it's all over, you know, like some 6,000 companies will have reported earnings. But the ones that we really focus the most on are those S&P 500 companies, because those are the ones that pretty much set the standard for the rest of the market to trade on. Earnings have been going up since 2009, 15 straight years. And I've seen people say, well, they shouldn't be going up. They're buying back shares, this and that. The Fed was does that really matter? Your 401k has been going up since 2009 because earnings have been going up. That's what matters, the bottom line earnings. And that's what's going to either drive the market higher in the future, level the market off, or start to bring the next bear market. That's how critical earnings are. When we come back, we'll take an early look here at this brand new earnings season. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, as we the earnings that are being reported today, this is the fourth quarter of last year. Well, Bill, that ended. We're 12 days, I know, but that's what they're reporting now. They're reporting the earnings for the fourth quarter of last year. And when all is said and done, right now, the street is expecting just over $54 per share in earnings for the fourth quarter of last year, and that would wrap up the year and about $221 per share in earnings are what are expected when all the beans are counted here during this current earnings season. That will be a record year for earnings. This year we're expecting $245 per share, okay? So we're looking at 11% growth in earnings. That's going to drive the market higher if those earnings come in at their expectations. So right now we're getting these earnings today is really the official kickoff. And let's just take a look at some of these companies that are pretty major players in the market and how everything is going here so far. And keep in mind that $54 per share is what we're expecting. Now, every time a company reports, those numbers change a little bit. During the week, obviously, next week there will be a lot of companies reporting, and you start to see those trends appearing in the overall estimates. Okay, so we mentioned J.P. Morgan. The quarter so far is off to a good start. Now we go to Bank of America, all right? Bank of America, the stock is down 2.28%. As you know, and a lot of times it's not just the earnings that they report, but it's also about the guidance that they give going forward. So far you've got one good one and one bad one. Okay, now we go to Citigroup, the next big bank to report earnings here today. Citigroup is it's up. It's actually down a little bit now. A little bit of the air starting to come out of the tires of the market. Citigroup actually came in and they beat their earnings by a little bit. You know, the problem with the big bank stocks, and we don't own any big bank stocks because they're single-digit growers nowadays. They're not growing by double digits like tech stocks are. Or other stocks, weight loss drugs, other different companies out there. Wells Fargo, which has been a big laggard for a long time, I think even Warren Buffett finally gave up on Wells Fargo. It's down 2.4%. Okay, but Wells Fargo did beat by 20 cents. They also beat on revenue, but it has to be about the guidance that they gave that is driving the stock lower. Bank of New York Mellon, BK, is the symbol. Now, there's your earnings report of the day so far. They beat by 16 cents, revenue beat, and they guided higher. That's a trifecta of winnings there. Bank of New York Mellon is up 3.6%, best earnings report of the day so far. Now we got BlackRock reporting, not a bank, kind of a financial, more of an investment banker. BlackRock, about flat on the day. They beat by 82 cents. Revenue was in line with estimates. Now we go into an entirely different sector, United Healthcare. Well, not so good. The pride of Minneapolis, biggest healthcare provider by far, the stock, $478 billion. They're down 4.1% today, 4.1%. They beat earnings despite rising costs. That's always been an issue with healthcare. Costs always rising in healthcare. I've never seen it when it wasn't rising. And United Healthcare is down 4.2% despite beating the rest of us. Delta Airlines, now we go into a totally different industry here. Not a good report. Down 7.5%. Their profit guidance short of their long-term target. And not a good report there for Delta Airlines. Now, let's take a look underneath the surface of the market here. Let's just take a look at the S&P 500 really quickly and see who the winners and the losers are in the market here today. The winners, Bank of New York Mellon, there you go. They're a winner today. The refinery stocks are a winner. Absent from the action in the market today are the big tech stocks. They are very, very quiet today. I'm not seeing any activity there at all today. And on the losing end of things, the stocks that are under pressure today, the airlines. The airlines are having a terrible day. That's another group I don't like. I haven't owned an airline stock. I can't remember the last time I owned an airline stock. And I do remember owning some smaller growth airline stocks a long time ago. Look at United's down 9%. America's down 8.5%. Delta's down 7.5%. Alaska.
That's oil.
And also oil. You know, that's their major cost.
Yes, that, fuel that and humans. Right.
And stale peanuts. That's their second biggest cost. So anyways, all right. You know, and here's another loser today, and I'm going to mention this, all right? Tesla is down 3% today. We've owned Tesla. And, you know, I look at 800,000 charts a day. I've been watching Tesla for the last several weeks. I don't like the way it's trading. I just don't like the way it's trading. And yesterday was the final straw. I did not like how that chart looked. I don't like the fact that their earnings are flattening out. I don't like the fact that Hertz is unloading all of those EVs. And I said, you know what? I'm backing out. We sold all of our Tesla yesterday. We owned it in both our premier growth and our ultra growth portfolio. And then I saw the news this morning. It was the biggest loser in the pre-market. It's down 3% right now. They have two issues right now. They have the issue with closing down their Gigafactory in Germany, and their costs are going up. They had to kind of match. They had to up the ante because of the United Auto Workers and the big pay, right? They had to give all their... They're struggling with margins right now, Tesla. So anyways, so far, that's a good call. We'll see. If Tesla takes off, well, it was a bad call. But we did sell all of our Tesla. And what did we replace it with? We'll get the newsletter this weekend. GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. and we'll talk about your situation. 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.